John chapter number 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. I think there's a lot of confusion today about this doctrine of the new birth. There's a lot of people that think that the new birth is this, and some think it's that. Many people have the idea that the new birth is a feeling that you get. Even in, and understand what I'm saying, in our circles, I hear a lot of times people give testimonies and they talk about when they felt it and when they experienced something in their heart and in their life. But I want to tell you something. The new birth is something that is completely beyond anything that you've ever experienced. It's not something that you feel. It's not something that you do. But the new birth is something that God does in you. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what the new birth is. John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the one we just read, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word born again can also mean born from above. So the new birth has its origin in heaven. Doesn't have its origin on the earth. Doesn't have its origin in the heart of a man. It's not by the will of a man, or the idea of a man, or the faith of the man. It's not the result of a human's faith. It is an activity that belongs completely and solely to God. The second thing I want to say is that it is a spiritual birth and has nothing to do with the flesh. When you were born the first time, you were born into this world to your mother and to your father. Little Seth came into the world a few weeks ago, and he was born to his mother and to his father. And at this moment, all he has is flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. When you were born into this world, you were born in the flesh. You were born as a depraved creature. When he gets older, don't tell Seth that I preached on him so specifically. He might be offended. But I want to tell you, when you're born the first time, you're born a sinful creature. You're born a fleshly creature. You're born dead in trespasses and in sins, the Bible says. You come into this world without a capacity to know God at all. You come into this world without any desire to know God, without any longing to know God. You come into the world without a concept of what God is like. And all of your life, your mind is fashioned by the flesh and by the works of the flesh and by a world that's full of flesh. So that all the time your thoughts about God are being formed according to the flesh. And your ideas about God are according to the flesh. Jesus said that which is born of flesh is flesh. You can't make anything else out of it. You can't make a spiritual being out of it. He's like an old hog. You can put a bow on him and you can put a diamond ring in his nose. But when you get through, you've got him washed up. You've got a brand new silk gown on that old hog. When you're through, he's still a hog. Has a hog nature. He'll never be anything but a hog. Now, if some great miracle came along and somebody could wave a magic flag or a wand over that hog and turn him into a sheep, then you could say a miracle had taken place. Listen to me. That is exactly what happens in the new birth. Only it's not magic, it's God. And God's Spirit moves in a heart and creates a new person on the inside. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the new birth is a spiritual birth. The third thing I want to say is that the new birth is a birth that is controlled by the sovereignty of God. Look at verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. Now listen to this. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. A person who's born of the Spirit of God cannot make God birth them. As a matter of fact, folks don't think in those terms. People who haven't been born again don't think in those terms. Listen closely to what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Those who haven't been born again by the Spirit of God could care less if the Spirit of God ever comes to them or not. They don't think in those kinds of terms. They think about fleshly things. They think about earthly things. And so the Spirit of God moves upon people in a sovereign way. He doesn't save everybody. He could. But the Spirit of God does not birth everybody into the kingdom of heaven. There's some people who are called universalists who want to teach that everybody's going to be saved. Jesus died for everybody. The Spirit of God regenerates everybody. And everybody someday is going to end up in heaven. Hitler's going to heaven. Stalin's going to heaven. If you'd listen to them close enough, you'd almost believe the devil's going to heaven. But I want to tell you, there's only those that the Spirit of God moves upon sovereignly. The wind blows where it wants to. Now, we've bragged about how we know how to control weather. We've talked about how, you know, we know how to go out and predict when a storm's coming and all of those different things. Well, Jesus said they could do that in His day. He said you can look up and see when the sky's red and you know that a storm's coming or you know this or that. But He said you can't control the wind. I dare any of you out there this morning to go command the breeze to come through. I've been working in my garden a time or two and I wish I could have. I wish I could have said, now, temperature drop 15 degrees right now and a small little breeze come through here. But even if I'd said that, it wouldn't have happened. You know why? Because the wind blows according to God's sovereign providential will. The Bible even says stormy winds obey His word. Word of God teaches that the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the storms and they obey the word of God. God is in control of the wind. And you can't command the wind. No, you can't do it. You can't command the weather. And so God says you can't command the Spirit of God. Just like the wind blows where God wants it to blow, the Spirit of God blows where He wants to blow. He moves where He wants to move. He deals with the people that He chooses to deal with. Now, the problem with that in our way of thinking is always this. That's just not fair. Looks to me like if God was fair, He'd deal with everybody the same way. Well, let me say to you that I'm not preaching this morning on the fairness of God. I said the Spirit of God is sovereign. And there is a difference. You know, one of our problems in America is we haven't been raised under a monarchy or a dictatorship. We haven't been raised in a country where one person holds all the power. But whether you know it or not, God Almighty holds all the power. And we resent that idea. We think we've got some of the power. But you don't. You don't have any power at all. You don't have any strength at all. You can't command anything. All you can do is operate in the flesh. God Almighty can do anything He wants to do, anytime He wants to do it, because He is God. I want to tell you, in England, the old days when the king was really king, he could point to a person and say, have that person's head chopped off. And people rushed to have that person's head chopped off. And it didn't matter whether he squalled and screamed and begged. If he chose to have his head chopped off, he had his head chopped off. He was sovereign king. And if he said to this criminal over here, who was absolutely just as wicked as he could possibly be and needed to be in jail, the king could say, I pardon this man. We're going to set him free. And nobody better open their mouth about it because he's the king. He is sovereign. You see? That's what sovereignty means, that the one in control can do what he chooses to do. So God's Spirit is sovereign. I've been praying all morning. I've been praying, oh God, move upon this congregation. Spirit of God, move upon this congregation. Because I know something. I know that my words will fall completely. They'll fall right down here in the floor. And they won't mean a thing in the world unless the Spirit of the living God takes them and makes them mean something to your heart. He's sovereign God. He can do that or he can choose not to do that. And he doesn't have to be fair. A sovereign is not supposed to be fair. A sovereign is supposed to wield power in a judicial, correct way. And that God, I want to tell you, God does exactly that. Somebody said, well, it's just really not fair, Brother Mike, because you see, you got all these people who really want to be saved, and then if God doesn't save them, then my goodness. Oh. But here's the problem. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and you don't have a crowd of folks who want to be saved and God won't save them. I'm going to say something really radical. If you want to be saved, God wants to save you. We're getting pretty close to a pretty good truth here. I'm telling you, if you want to forsake all of your sins, that is not of the flesh. If you want to turn your life over to a holy God, that is not of the flesh. If you have a hunger and thirst for holiness, if you desire to have the burden of sin taken away from you, if you want to live in heaven with Christ forever and adore Him, that is not of your flesh. That comes from God. That comes from heaven. You ought to thank God you're an object of God's mercy and God's grace working in your heart and in your life. The Spirit of God moves sovereignly. And those who don't have those desires, listen, they don't want those desires. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But listen to this. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now the new birth is that supernatural, sovereign work of the Holy Ghost as He deals with sinners and creates in them a new creation. But the second thing is, it comes about by the impregnation of the Word of God. The Spirit of the living God takes the Word of God and He puts it in a sinner's heart. And the sinner doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, the only thing that a sinner has to do with that is this. He gets up and goes to a place where the Word of God is put in his heart. And even that, God compelled him to do that. God gave him the desire to go to the house of God. God gave him the desire to go to the evangelistic meeting. God gave him the desire to turn on that one program on television where there's going to really preach the gospel. God providentially directed his steps to hear the Word of God. And when he heard the Word of God came into his heart supernaturally. He didn't choose to let it in. It just got in. Kind of like when I met my wife. I said, Brother Mike, did you choose Susan? Why, sure I did. But why did I choose her? Because the choice is already made in my heart when I saw her. Y'all looking at me kind of so you don't understand what I'm talking about. Okay, so how many of you looked at your mate and said, why not tonight? If thou would be married, why not tonight? How many of you looked at your mate and said, boy, this is a hard job. Do I want to be single or do I want to be... No, as in the Bambi movie, you were Twitter-pated. Oh, never saw anybody like her before. I love her. Wasn't something you've worked up. Honey, do you love me? Well, I'm trying my best to. I'm working on it. No. It's a condition you find yourself in. And I want to tell you, that's what happens when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and puts it in your heart. There are things that begin to work in you that's never worked in you before. Now, the situation is not complete, but it's sure. It's not complete. There has to come repentance and faith. And that's conversion. But if there's a birth, I want to tell you, the conviction and the repentance and faith is sure. If there is conception in the physical world, there's a baby coming. He's coming. Now, don't give me all this stuff about things can happen, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if there's a conception in the physical world, there's a baby coming. And if nature takes its course, in about 9 months, Mama's going to start getting up in the middle of the night. And Daddy is too after a while. certain things happen. If the Holy Ghost ever takes the Word of God and plants it in your heart and makes you dissatisfied with your present condition and causes you to take off after Jesus Christ and causes you to long for Christ and opens up your heart to truth, I want to tell you, it may be shorter, it may be long, but there's a conversion coming, brother. You might as well mark her down. You ought to thank God for His grace and working in your heart, in your life. The Old Testament, being referred to it in Sunday school this morning, the Old Testament passages that talk about the new birth. God said, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a new heart of flesh. I'll take that old heart that's so hard that nothing will grow in it. I'll jerk it out. I'll put in a heart of flesh and I'll put my Word in that heart of flesh and it'll start growing. Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. God's not waiting. Listen, God's not waiting on you will. God's waiting. God's already said, I will. Well, how do you know? I'm almost hearing the wheels cranking this morning. Somebody said, well, Brother Mike, how do you know if you've been born again? How do you really know if you've been born again? Well, John wrote a whole book on it. It's called 1 John. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. Now wait a minute. He didn't say everyone that doeth good. He said everyone that doeth righteousness. Well, that word righteous is a legal term. He says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of God. How do you know whether you're born of God or not? You're a righteous person. I'm not talking about whether you're converted yet or not. I'm not talking about any of those things. And by the way, let me clear something up real quick. I don't believe there has to be any length of time at all between the new birth and conversion. I think it can happen almost simultaneously. But listen to me. If the work of God has begun in your heart, there is a desire not just to be good, as they were talking in the Sunday school class this morning, not just worried about what other people think about you, but a desire to be pure in the eyes of God, to be righteous in God's eyes. Everybody who's born of God has that desire. Doesn't matter what the world thinks about you, so long as you're righteous in the eyes of God. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of the Word of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. We know those are continuing tenses there, which simply means those that are born of God cannot live the lifestyle of sin. I want to tell you, one of the first things that happens to you when the seed of the Word of God begins to grow in your life and in your heart is that you want to get away from a sinful lifestyle. Those things that you used to think were funny are abominations to you now. Those places that you used to think were so exciting, you feel dirty when you get around them. Those things that you used to love to watch on television that so excited and inflamed your flesh, you have no desire for those things. That doesn't mean your flesh isn't ever tempted by the world or the flesh or sinful things, but it means there's a principle in you that hates those things. He that's born of God loves righteousness. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Do you realize if you've been born again, if God's Word has started to work in your heart, you love especially God's people. You love to be around them. You love to fellowship with them. You hurt when they hurt. You feel joy when they feel joy. You empathize with them because you are one with them. You're not separated from them. You're one body in Christ Jesus. You're one family. You can't get away from it. If you're born of God, you love them that God loves. 1 John 5:1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God." Now listen to this statement. "And everyone that loves Him that begat," that is Jesus, that put the seed of the Word of God in somebody's heart, "everyone that loves Him also love Him that is begotten of Him." If you love the one who does the placing of the seed of the Word of God in the heart, that is Jesus, if you love Jesus, you love everybody else that's been born by Jesus. That's what He's saying. See, these churches that are always fighting, cussing one another, cutting each other's throat, full of hate and malice, ungodliness. You know what James said about them? He said, "Why, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is adultery against God?" And that's all that is. That's just like the dog-eat-dog world out there. It comes into so many of our churches. But boy, I tell you, if the Word of God's ever got on the inside of you, you can't hate your brother. Another place in John, he says, "How can you claim to love God, whom you haven't seen, and hate your brother, who you have seen? And if you've seen your brother, and he's your brother, you've seen Christ in him. And how can you hate him and say, 'Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.' As long as I'm in the pew where I always sit and don't let nobody else sit there. Oh, how I love Jesus, as long as you don't cross me in a business meeting and say something different from what I want." I'm telling you, there are folks who are members of Baptist churches who haven't bit more been born again than a man in the moon. Their whole life is for self and what they want. Somebody said the reason you have so many church bosses a lot of times is because they're henpecked and their wife won't let them be boss at home, so they come down to church and try to be boss down at the church house. Church don't have but one boss, and his name's Jesus. That's the only boss the church has got. Church has one head. His name is Christ. Listen to this one. 1 John 5:4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. People who are born of God are not worldly people. They are known by overcoming the world. Now let me say something to you. That does not mean they don't have a struggle with the world. But it does mean in the end, they overcome. Who overcomes? Those that have been born of God. How do they overcome? By their faith in Christ. Boy, I tell you, God's working on something in my heart. We try in our teaching and in our understanding of Scripture, we take things and we divide them up and we try to dissect truth. Truth's alive. You can't separate truth. They took you in the biology lab and laid a little frog out there in front of you and said, "Now cut him up. Now this is his entrails. This is his little heart. Look at this is his lungs." Do you know the thing that's about that frog that is so frightening? He was dead. These churches where they take truth and they divide it up and they say, "All right, this is justification and this is all there is about justification. Now, separate from that, here is sanctification. This is all there is about sanctification. And here is security and this is all there." Listen, I want to tell you, that's why so many of those places are dead. This man read to us from Hebrews this morning that said, "He hath sanctified forever." Perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected forever is our justification. Them that are sanctified is our sanctification. Them that are set apart for God. And you can't take those two things apart. And my practical sanctification only operates as long as I keep in my mind my justification by grace through faith in Christ. When I start trying to separate it, I get into works every time. You can't separate them. Well, I was reading, I'm thinking about Romans. And we could take Romans and we say, all right, now, first part shows the depravity of man. Second part shows justification. Third part shows sanctification. Listen, Paul bleeds those things together. When you try to take them apart, you just pick it apart. You get a piece of the truth here and a piece of the truth there. And that's why we kind of got a piecemeal experience in our salvation. He that's born of God has victory over the world through his faith. That's the application of what I just said. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now we know when a person's saved that God keeps them. But I want to tell you something. When a man's born of God, there's something inside of him that makes him want to keep himself away from sin. To guard himself. He that's born of God guards his mind. Guards his heart. He doesn't fling himself open to every filthy thing the world's got to offer him. He guards it because there's a nature inside of him that says, guard me. Those are the signs of what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. But here's the first two signs. When a man's been born again by the Spirit of God, there develops within him a great sense of unworthiness and sinfulness. And he loathes himself. He's not proud of himself. He gets sick of himself. And the next thing, and listen, that's the beginnings of repentance. When a man's been born of God, he gets into a repentant state. A state where he is so tired of himself. And then the next thing is, when he gets tired enough of himself, he goes outside of himself to find help. To a crucified Christ. Believing God judged his sins in Jesus. And happily and joyfully receives this Christ as Lord and Master of his life. Believing that his sins are judged in Jesus. And the resurrected Lord ever lives to make intercession for him. That's a result of the new birth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say, well, if I wasn't so stubborn. You're stubborn. Stubborn. You sure got a low view of God's power. I mean, God said, let there be light, and everything we know came into existence. But God can't handle your standard. Sorry, my friend. Some people don't like this term, but I believe in irresistible grace because I believe in an irresistible God. I believe in an all-powerful God. Not going to do anything against my will. You better hope He does, buddy. Because your will is nothing but sin and hell-bound. Here's what I was going to say to you. God said He'd give you a new heart. Listen to this. The sinner hates the thought of that. Because he loves himself. I don't want to be changed. I want control of my life. I want to run my own life. I want my heart to stay like it is. Oh, I want to be a better person. Because you see, that makes me feel good about me. For me to be a better person, it's all about me. When God said, that old heart you've got is not worth anything. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to put a new heart. And every one of us has had that old heart taken out and that new heart put in. Thank God that God gave us a heart transplant. We do. We praise God for it. I am not the creature that I once was. I want to tell you, Ben touched on this again in Sunday school. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Joe Parsons said we're neither men nor angels. And I thought of it like this. God created angels. That's one line of creation. God created men. That's a new line of creation. And then He created saved people. A new creation in Christ. A whole different animal from angels or just men. Here's a born again man. Who'd ever thought about that? God reaches in, takes His heart out. God puts Himself, His own heart, in its place. Now there's something inside that human being that always pleads for the cause of God, that always calls for righteousness, that loves holiness, that longs for purity, that puts God above everything else. There's something in that new creation that's changed him from what he was. Made a new creature out of him. How about it this morning? Have you ever been born again by the Spirit of God? I'm going to give an invitation this morning. Now listen, are you listening? Listen. Don't get your keys out to go. Don't put your coat on. Don't start sliding toward the end of the pew unless you plan on coming to the altar. We're not coming to the end of the service. We might be coming to the beginning of the service. So we're going to stand this morning. And we're going to sing. And since you can't do it, there might be something inside of you that would say, why don't you pray to me and ask me to take out that old heart and put in that new one? Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence this morning. Holy Spirit of God, deal with us, I pray. Even now, deal with us, I pray. And as sinners come to cry out to you, I pray that you would work that miracle in their heart and help them to turn away from self and, Lord, look wholly upon Christ and place all their hope in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. They're going to play softly. God's Spirit's moving on you to come this morning and just ask God to have mercy on you. Why don't you come and do that?